Let's welcome in our guy, Jay Binkley. You know, in the past, he said things like this.
You like my tractor, baby?
Well, he's joining us right now. Bink, what's going on, my man?
What's going on, fellas? How are we doing today? You ready for the Arrowhead Invitational?
Definitely. Yeah, we were just saying how, you know, it's definitely not the same feeling maybe as the first go around. We've been spoiled. But this week, it really, you know, when you're going for a three-peat, knowing that they're two wins away now, and now the stakes are higher than ever.
Sure.
Divisional round, it's not the same feeling. There's definitely going to be more stress this week. There's definitely going to be, I think, more and more fans nervous as we get through the week.
You know what, Alex? I was like you. I was watching those games and all those penalties. I mean, man, I'm telling you what, those officials really wanted the Buffalo Bills to win.
That's right.
And I'm watching that. It was just up and down. And then the ratings come out today. The Chiefs had the highest ratings ever on ESPN. Four of the top five programs in the country involved the Kansas City Chiefs. People say they're not going to watch them. But yeah, you know what they do? They watch them.
Binkley, there is no one I know on this planet. I mean that sincerely. There's no one on this planet I think watches more football overall than you. Are the refs good at their job?
No, the refs are horrible at their job. I mean, I can cite many things. I mean, do you remember the Indianapolis Colts game a couple years ago where Chris Jones gets a roughing the passer? There was a phantom call or some of the bad, horrible calls.
There was the one against like Ryan when he, like the Colts one. Is that the one where like he said something mean to him? Is that what it was?
Yeah. And they lost two games last year, not only Kadarius Toney, but they lost a couple games due to some bad officiating calls. And, you know, the stats would bear it out that even on first downs, on third and long, the Chiefs have been penalized more than any team in the NFL and not the other way around. But people don't want to hear that. Josh Allen's one of the biggest floppers. It was nice that Kyle Brandt on Good Morning Football this morning admitted that. He said, hey, Josh Allen flops all the time and stuff like that. So they both do. They all do. Watch quarterbacks. Most quarterbacks will do a lot of the same things you saw from Mahomes.
Other than cheating, which the Patriots did, and I would say the Chiefs shouldn't do, why are we being mad at quarterbacks for trying to do anything to help their team win? If someone shoves you close to the sideline, you should put on a dog and pony show, especially if there's no rule against it stopping you from doing as much.
Well, it's what happens. I'm not a huge fan of them doing it, but I understand why they do it, because you want to keep your team's chances. Chiefs have a chance to do something no other team has done, and they do it. But, you know, I've seen plenty of times Mahomes has been hit out of bounds and hadn't been flagged. I think we've all seen him being hit, you know, late, but it did not draw a flag. And at some point, you're like, man, is he ever going to draw these flags? But he obviously got them this past week, but that's not always been the case.
We're talking to Jay Binkley here on 96.5 The Fan. As far as the actual game offensively, I don't know if we want to call it rust or whatever, but it wasn't always the smoothest operation. Ultimately, Travis Kelce went off and had a massive day, but only one wide receiver had a catch. My guess is there's no way that one that's going to happen on Sunday, but also if it does, then the Chiefs would be in big trouble.
No, it's interesting. I mean, you're right. They really didn't use the receivers. I think that DeAndre Hopkins was in with only 16 snaps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was weird.
31%. Hollywood Brown, 37% of the snaps. So you didn't have a catch between. You had one target for Hopkins. It was strange. You know, I wonder if he's 100%. But yeah, Xavier Worthy was really the only receiver to get a catch in this game. Maybe they decided not to do it. Maybe there's more to it than what we know. But I will say this, DeAndre Hopkins has the longest streak in the National Football League with catches per game, and Travis Kelce's number two. Now, thankfully, that's a regular season stat because that would have ended this weekend.
When you look at the game, was there any more singly impressive player than Travis Kelce? Like, you mentioned him. I mean, it's just kind of nuts. At his age, at his position, he's not supposed to be continued to do this, torturing defenses.
No, it's interesting, and you see him getting open. I do think that's a byproduct sometimes of, you know, even when Hopkins and Brown, you know, we're in there together, you do have to pay attention to him. And I think defenses do have to pay attention to him. And some of that, you know, did open up Travis Kelce, especially across the middle. For some reason, teams just decide not to guard Kelce, even though he's very good at just finding that opening, probably the best we've ever seen at finding that opening, especially when you get to the postseason. But I do think, Kevin, some of the other talent and some of that speed that these teams have to count for, you know, the Worthy, the Hollywood Brown, you throw in a DeAndre Hopkins there at times, and that's going to open up things for Travis Kelce. Like, that is the one thing that's really going to open things up for him, is if it's not Kelce, who's it going to be? Is it going to be then Worthy going off and having a game over 100 yards? Is it going to be Hopkins, you know, having one of his type of games? I mean, who knows? But they're set up so somebody can be the start. I remember a couple years ago, that first Super Bowl run the Chiefs went on, the first 6 weeks of the year, they had six different leading receivers. They then settled into Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce the rest of the way out. But, you know, it's pick your poison the way that Andy Reid kind of likes to run this offense.
When you look at the running backs, I know over the last six games, Pacheco and Hunt actually have almost the identical yardage, three touchdowns though for Hunt, none for Pacheco. I don't know if it's a health thing. I don't know if it's a vision thing. Watching this pass game as well, the first eight plays, like four touches were for Pacheco. I think Kareem Hunt should be getting the first crack at this thing Sunday night. I'm not so sure Andy Reid and the Chiefs are going to do that though.
No, I 100% agree. I mean, it's frustrating to watch games and you realize the Kareem Hunt's the best option they have. You go back to that Cleveland game, you know, we're sitting there saying it, saying, you know, what are they doing? Like third and fourth and one. You know, I've heard of how much Isaiah Pacheco runs hard. And so many people talk, oh, he just runs so hard. Well, that's true, but he doesn't do it on third and one. And he doesn't do it on fourth and one. The Chiefs have a terrible time trying to pick up first downs when it's short yardage. To me, even though the numbers may look similar, Kareem Hunt has that knack, that veteran knack, to find that crease and get there and get that first down. To me, he is the better option for the Kansas City Chiefs at this point.
Binkley, before we get to the actual what's going to happen in the game tonight between Ohio State and Notre Dame, this is the only time I feel like, because I've got you on and it's a national championship game, so it's the last college game. Tell me one player on these two teams that's going to end up on the Chiefs next year if you think so.
You know what? Well, definitely not Ohio State, unless Brett Veach went a different direction. But Brett Veach does not draft Ohio State players.
He has zero? Has he never drafted an Ohio State player?
I do not think so. I don't think there's ever been an Ohio State player drafted under Brett Veach and the Kansas City Chiefs. So that would be against, quote, that trend that they would do it. Although, I would like to see Jeremiah Smith in a couple of years.
Well, I mean, yeah, but that ain't going to happen.
He's just true freshman now, but and as I've said, you know, weeks ago, I think he's better than Marvin Harrison Jr., to be honest with you. I think people are sleeping on this guy and I think he's going to be better than him. It should be a good game tonight, though, fellas. I'm looking forward to it. Marcus Freeman, what he's doing. I'm shocked that Ryan Day's not getting the run that he should be getting.
Because he's an ass, Bink. People don't like him.
Well, they don't like him, but he just wins. Look at his track record. He just wins. Yes, he struggled against Michigan the last couple of years, but he does have a win against Michigan. So he has beaten them and a chance to, and he's got the best team in the country this year. It is interesting because he's got two stints as an NFL assistant, as assistant coach. He's been a quarterback coach in the National Football League with two different teams. So he has that pedigree and experience. It's just shocking that you hear all the other names from college football mentioned, but you don't hear Ryan Day, and he has that NFL pedigree. And you know what? Why would he want to move? There's so much pressure at Ohio State. Why not go off to the NFL? But shocked we haven't heard Ryan Day more than what we have.
I think they were ready to fire him like a month ago.
Oh, yeah.
Like, legitimately like a month ago, Ohio State fans were ready to, like, drag him out of the building.
But that's more of a fan thing.
Kicking and
like,
screaming.
But that's still
you know
more of a fan thing.
That's true. And I remember Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler kind of defending him on the broadcast and Ryan Day. And, you know, the rest of the ESPN, you know, the hot take shows that they have were ready to fire him, ready to move him out. But you haven't heard that, though. And it was trending. Like, fire Ryan Day was trending after that Michigan, but it's gone quiet. But if you Google Ryan Day should be fired, it was a major trending thing on social media. But all of a sudden, with the chance of a national title tonight, those have completely silenced.
You think this game's close? Like, Notre Dame is obviously a heavy underdog, 8.5, 9.5 points, wherever it last landed. I think last I saw Notre Dame was maybe like plus 300 on the money line in order to do it. What do you think Notre Dame can keep this game closer than it looks like the Vegas thinks it'll be?
I do. I think this is going to be a Chiefs-type game that they've been winning this season. I think it's going to be a close game. Both these defenses are tremendous. And I do like Riley Leonard, even though sometimes he doesn't enamor you with his throwing stats, but on the ground, being the dual threat quarterback that he is, can pick up those first downs from Notre Dame. But both these defenses, exceptional, so I do expect it to be closer, but I do expect Ohio State to win it. They're just too good. Will Howard, he's been incredible in the postseason. He's thrown for 300 yards two of the last three times, and last time was only 289 yards that he threw, but he's making the right decisions, and I love that backfield that they got. And this is a tight-knit group, because like Jack Sawyer, the defensive end that picked up that scoop and score fumble last week, he was one of those guys. He had a chance to go to the NFL last year. I thought maybe he had a third-round type selection had he gone last year. But he, along with a lot of other players, they got in this group chat in the offseason, And the biggest impetus was, let's return. We got an unfinished business to do. Let's try to bring everybody back. And clearly they didn't bring back Marvin Harrison Jr. But there was a lot of players that did come back because of Jack Sawyer to kind of complete this mission. So, hats off to him.
So who's winning next year's national title game? You know, when you see him go, get out of the curve, Bank. Who's winning next year, you know?
Well, you know what? You know, what's weird is I saw way too early top 25 by some of
my way too early.
Kansas State, Missouri. You rarely seen that, but they had Ohio State still up there at the top, and they had Texas.
Yeah, those are the two favorites for next year.
Hey, Missouri's going to be interesting because that Penn State backup quarterback, they got a lot of playing time, and the reason they beat Wisconsin this year, Bo Pribula, transferred to Missouri, a great dual threat quarterback, but he transferred to Missouri. They're going to get Sam Horn back, and they got Zollers coming in as well. So Missouri is loaded at the quarterback position. It's going to be fun to watch.
They couldn't even get to the college football playoff this year.
You know what, Cody? Last year they would have. I know that's, woulda, coulda, shoulda, but,
Well, their schedule was pretty soft this year, that's all. I feel like you only get occasional off years in the SEC, Bink.
No, this was the year to do it. Kansas has done well in the transfer portal as well. K-State's, banking and hoping Avery Johnson could do some good things for Kansas State. But this was going to be the year. Watch it be next year because everybody's expecting. It's like the Minnesota Twins. You expect them to be good, then they're bad. Or you expect them to be bad, then they're good. That's kind of what the Big 12 is going to be with KU and K-State. I think both of them will be back next year.
Lastly for you, do you think Deion Sanders ends up in the NFL this year?
Maybe. I don't want to see it. I think he's fun at college, and he's got one of the top quarterback recruits, five-star kid coming to Colorado in the offseason. He's done a good job recruiting. I don't think he'll end up in the National Football League. I hope he stays at Colorado. Certainly there's an opportunity. You never know what Jerry Jones is going to do. Jerry Jones can do what Jerry Jones wants to do, but I hope he stays at Colorado. But yeah, I'd say there's probably a 30%, 35% chance he goes to the NFL.
All right, Bank, well, make sure you get the beer dropped off and deliver for the game tonight.
You know what? The delivery came about an hour ago.
Nice.
Oh, good to go.
And you know what? We have championship drive on now. We've got college football game day for the last time coming on.
Let's go, Bink.
That's what I just said. Nobody watches more football than Binkley.
Hey, I'm ready. We get the McAfee sideline pass on ESPN2. We've got the ESPN Skycast on ESPNU. God. And we've got two radio calls if you get on ESPN online. So I'm set, fellas.